The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 5th Canto, Chapter Number 20, Texts Number 29 and 30. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on July 9th, 2010, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe, Texts 29 and 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam meva dadhi mano dat parata pushkara dvipastato dvi gunayama samantatta upakalpita samanena svadu dakena samudrena Bahiravrito yasmin brihat pushkaram jvavala shikamala kanaka patrayuta yutang bhagavata kamala sanasya yadasanam parikalpitam. Translation. Outside the ocean of yogurt is another island known as Pushkaradvip, which is 6,400,000 yojanas, 51,200,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of yogurt. It is surrounded by an ocean of very tasteful water, as broad as the island itself. On Pushkaradvip, there is a great lotus flower with 100 million pure golden petals, as effulgent as the flames of fire. That lotus flower is considered the sitting place of Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful living being and who is therefore sometimes called Bhagavan. Text 30. Tadvipamajye manasottara namaika evarvachina parachina varshayor mayadachalo yutta yojanochchada yayamo yattatu chatrashu dikshu chadvari paranilokapalanam indrayinam yaduparishtat suryaratasya merum paribrahmatasamam vatsaratmakam chakram devanam mahodatyavyam paribrahmati. Translation. In the middle of that island is a great mountain named Manasottara, which forms the boundary between the inner side and the outer side of the island. Its breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles. On that mountain, in the four directions, are the residential quarters of the demigods such as Indra. In the chariot of the sun god, the sun travels on the top of the mountain in an orbit called Samvatsara, encircling Mount Meru. The sun's path on the northern side is called Uttarayana, and his path on the southern side is called Dakshinayana. On one side, rather one side represents the day for the demigods, and the other represents their night, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The movement of the sun is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.52. Yasya gyaya brahmati sambritta kala chakra. The sun orbits around Mount Sumeru for 6 months on the northern side and for 6 months on the southern. This adds up to the duration of the day and night of the demigods in the upper planetary systems. Vandeham. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Padakamala. Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa. Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, when we read such amazing descriptions like this, and we compare it with our perceptual powers at the present time, we can understand in the present, we are very much in the fog. But there is great hope given earlier in this canto, in one of the chapter introductions. It is explained that all of this can be realized simply by associating with devotees. So, even though at the present moment we are very much in the fog in this regard, by associating with Vaishnavas, everything can be realized. The spiritual world, the material world, everything can be fully realized. In other words, if someone comes to the point where they can see Krishna, that certainly they can see this, you see. So, if Krishna consciousness is there, then everything else. If pure Krishna bhakti is there, then everything else becomes very clear. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me in one letter, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, my eternal spiritual master. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So how is it that we become qualified to see Krishna face to face? How is it that we become qualified to realize these truths of the Bhagavatam, which are far beyond our sensual powers at this time? By sadhu sangha. So how important is this sadhu sangha? Some people say, I can't stand ISKCON, I don't like the devotees, I just want to practice Krishna consciousness on my own. Like many people have left the society of ISKCON. I just want to be Krishna consciousness, and I can't stand ISKCON and the devotees, I just can't stand them. So how important is it to associate with devotees anyway? What does the Supreme Lord say in this regard? He gives us some very good information in the Adi Purana. Yeme bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta namchi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, oh, you are my devotee? Do you think you're my devotee? Guess what? You're not my devotee. But if you are the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So how important is this sadhu sangha? It's all important. Without sadhu sangha, we are nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. As we know, in the 9 steps of achieving Krishna prema, the 2nd step is sadhu sangha. First, we have some faith that I would like to associate with these sadhus. And then we associate with them, you see. So one who has no faith in the association of devotees, they can't go anywhere. They are completely retarded in their spiritual practice. What are they described as? Kandishta Arikadi. Materialistic devotees. Because until we are the devotee of the devotee, therefore we are not devotees, you see. So, how to become the devotee of the devotee? That is by the mercy of the devotee. How do we become devotees of Prabhupada? Did he bribe us with his 40 rupees? He certainly could not have bribed us with 40 rupees. Hardly a cab fare. You see. How did Prabhupada capture us that we became his devotees, you see? In the beginning, there was just a little tiny storefront. In the beginning, they didn't even have that. He was staying in a little, practically a little closet, a so-called office in Manhattan. Then he came to the Lower East Side. He was staying in that flat with that crazy LSD boy, sharing the flat with an LSD hippie. How did Prabhupada capture us? How did we become devotees of this devotee? You see? It's by his mercy. Prabhupada showered us with so much love, so much kindness, and so much wisdom. It was irresistible, actually. Prabhupada's kindness was irresistible. Why? Because no one ever loved us like that, ever. We had never tasted such love ever before. I remember before coming to this movement, I sometimes had some pen pals. I would get letters sometimes from my pen pal. But no letter I'd ever got from anyone like the letters I got from Prabhupada. It was just so much shakti, bhakti shakti, pure love. Just oceans, like an opening that letter was like a whole ocean of mercy, getting flooded with a whole ocean of mercy. Those letters from Prabhupada were so special when they came. Actually, it didn't matter who it was addressed to. It sometimes caused problems. As soon as a letter arrived, everybody gathered around, a letter came from Prabhupada, open it up. It didn't mind it. If the devotee who was too wasn't even there, just open it up. There might be some confidential information. It happened one time in Austin. There was some confidential information from Prabhupada about the temple president that we weren't supposed to see, and actually it caused some problems. He ended up leaving the position, actually. But when those letters came from Prabhupada, that was so special. I remember the day when that letter came. Because Vishnujan Maharaj had come to Austin like the Pied Piper. It was amazing how he showed up in Austin. I mean, he didn't have any money. He didn't have a vehicle. He didn't have any helpers. He didn't have a harmonium. He didn't have kartals. He didn't have madanga. He had 2 musical instruments: his hands and his voice. And he had a case of Bhaktivedanta magazines. He had the 3 brown Bhagavatams, the first canto, a few books, a danda, a blanket, a razor blade, and a toothbrush, and that was about it. And just by standing out on the by the university, they call it the drag up over in Austin. It's just standing out on the drag, across from the canvas, and singing Hare Krishna. He immediately attracted a following. He had gotten so much love from Prabhupada, you see. He'd been showered with so much love, and he was just sharing that love with us. And just the quality of his voice, just the way he sang, it was just captivating. And that gets me to the point of the letter came one afternoon. Vishnu John Maharaj was not there. We opened it up. We all gathered in the prasadam room and opened the letter. And Prabhupada said that to him, he said, when you were singing the kirtan in Los Angeles, he said, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha. So I said, yes, because I felt the same thing. So we became, teeny-weeny Austin Bhaktas, we were all attracted by this Vishnu Jana Maharaj. He was so merciful, and there was so much love in his voice, the way he would sing, and he preached so wonderfully. And then we learned it was all coming. He was just sharing the mercy he was getting from Prabhupada, you see. Prabhupada had so much love, he could empower one disciple to go out and just... and channel that love that Prabhupada was channeling from his Guru Maharaj, just channel it to all the people there in that city. So in this way, our movement spread all over the world, you see. Devotee in the most austere conditions, you know, devotees could go somewhere and just chant and preach, distribute prasadam, and attract a following. In this way, this movement took root all over the world. It was all because of this loving mercy coming from Srila Prabhupada. Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That poor living entity who's been dragged by the modes of nature from the highest planets down to the lower planets again and again and again for millions and billions of repetitions through the cycle of birth and death. If somehow or other he can come in contact with that loving mercy of the pure devotee, then he gets that bhakti lata bij, that seed of pure bhakti planted in his heart. Now what he does with that seed, you see, that's up to him. The pure devotee can bless us with that seed, but what we do with it, that's up to us. You can put a seed in your garden, you can neglect it, or you can take care of it, you see. So taking care of it means you water it regularly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You keep out those weeds, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And then sometimes a very horrible thing happens. Some mad elephant comes tromping through the neighborhood with his big feet, kroom, 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 crashing everything under his feet. So what do? You build a very strong fence around that garden. Someone that hati matta comes crashing through the neighborhood. You're safe, you see. So in this way, if we take very good care, you see, of that tender little bhakti lata bij, which becomes a bhakti creeper, you see. That little seed becomes bhakti lata. So it's our choice. The pure devotee can bless us with that mercy of that seed. Now we can let the seed die, let it dry up, wither away, or we can water it, nurture it, protect it, and achieve the supreme destination. There's a saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So we have a choice. Supreme gift has been given. We can neglect it, or we can take cash in on that thing, you see. Take full advantage of that mercy. Choice is up to us. Nobody's bending our arm and forcing us to surrender to Krishna. Take advantage of that mercy. It's completely up to us. We have the free will to do as we like. Take it or leave it. Krishna gives us that free will. Krishna doesn't want robots. He doesn't want puppets in the spiritual sky. Krishna is emanating all of us from Himself. For a puppet show? No. He wants loving rasa. Unlimited numbers of loving relationships. Isn't it a fact the more you can have loving relationships, the more your life becomes happy? So Krishna is expanding unlimited numbers of living entities from Himself for the purpose of enjoying loving rasa with each and every one of them. Therefore, there must be free will. He must give them the free will. And if free will is there, there has to be possibility of misusing it, right? If there's no possibility of misusing it, there is no free will. And if there's a possibility of misusing it, there has to be a probability of misusing it. And that brings us into the realm known as probability statistics. What is the probability that someone can misuse their free will? Well, it'd be the smallest possible number, which is 1 over infinity. That's the odds of misusing the free will. 1 over infinity. So if you take 1 over infinity and you apply it against the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world, what's the smallest possible fraction, the smallest possible piece of infinity? How many numbers? What is the smallest possible fraction? It's infinity. So even though it is an infinitesimal fraction of the living entities of the spiritual world who will misuse their free will, we end up with an infinite number of living entities populating this material existence. But it's all part of the perfect arrangement of Krishna to give us the freedom to love Him. Many times people tell me, they say, why doesn't God just force us to love Him? Why does He let us suffer like this? But no. Actually, Krishna is not making us suffer. We are putting ourselves in a suffering condition. God is giving all facility. Krishna is giving all facility for us to be fully absorbed in loving Him. Actually, Krishna is constantly bestowing unlimited loving mercy on every single living entity in the spiritual world and the material world, because even in this material world, that mercy is channeled through the material nature to encourage, to stimulate that living being to come back to his original constitutional nature. As one devotee sang in that song, love exists because Krishna is so kind. You see? So that Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though He is Atma Ram, even though He could enjoy all by Himself out there on Krishna Loka, He doesn't need anyone, but to expand His own pleasure, He expands Radharani from Himself and all the living entities, the Vishnu tattvas, the integrated expansions, you see, the Jiva tattvas, the separated expansions, simply to increase the rasa. As they say, variety is the spice. The more there is variety, the more it becomes tasteful. Just imagine we said, okay, and we're having a big, huge Maha feast. It's a big appearance day. We're having the ultimate Maha feast. And you come all excited, great, I'm ready to honor the feast. And it's a big mountain of rice, and that's it. One prep. But it's very nice rice. Yeah, I'm sure it's great rice, but you said it was a feast, Prabhu. And it's just rice only? And you say it's the ultimate love feast. You see? So, if there's variety, you see, then there is spite. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So the more there is variety, that increases the enjoyment. So Krishna, the unlimited supreme enjoyer, expands from himself an unlimited number of Vishnu tattva and Jiva tattva expansions simply for the purpose of enjoying the ultimate love feast at every minute of loving relationship. Every single Jiva has his own particular qualities and characteristics which make him unique. Just like in snow. Do you get snow here in Los Angeles? Snow? No? We don't get it in Texas either very much. Very rarely in Austin we will see snow. In Dallas they get more, but not down in Austin. But I remember when I was a kid in the elementary school, they taught us that if you analyze this, we looked at pictures of it, of snowflakes under a microscope. They're very, very beautiful. But there's no two snowflakes that are the same. Every single snowflake is a unique artistic creation. I know in Denver you get a lot of, we saw that time I came to Denver, it was humongous snow when I visited Nikotma in Denver a few years ago. But every one of those millions and billions of snowflakes that was, you know, carpeting Denver, every one of those millions and billions of snowflakes was totally unique artistic creation. So in the same way as every snowflake is completely unique and different, every single jiva is completely unique and different. And he can satisfy, he can give Krishna a certain taste, a certain experience, a certain sort of relationship that no other jiva can give him. Therefore, if a jiva is in this material world, Krishna is missing that particular taste that he could be having with that particular jiva. So in other words, if we stay in this material world, we're denying Krishna. He wants our association, you see. He wants our association. We're denying him a certain relationship that he wants to have that he's not getting it because we're not agreeing, you see. So it's we have to please him. I mean, he's really missing us. We have to please our beloved Lord. He wants us back in our original rasa, our original loving relationship with him, any one of five rasas. He wants us back. And he so kindly sends he personally comes, he sends his great exalted devotees to this world simply to bring us back. So that pure loving mercy of the supreme source of all loving relationships channels his love through these great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gatastapanta. He channels that loving mercy through these great acharyas. And where have we seen an acharya like the Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder acharya, the divine grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharja Astatarzadashi Shimadi Si Bhakti Vedantas Chitandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Where have we ever seen such an acharya like this? Who could spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Lord Chaitanya even did not do that. This is no ordinary acharya. This is the most powerful, enlightened acharya in the history. So if we take advantage of this unbelievable, inconceivable mercy which is showering from Srila Prabhupada, you see, then our lives become perfect. Some people say, well, Prabhupada is dead and gone. It's just a statue there. That's not Prabhupada. But you know, that's nonsense. I know we've seen many years ago in our Panihati festival in New Panihati Dam, Atlanta. during the height of the festival, the noon arti is a big kirtan. The temple room was packed with devotees. And an amazing thing happened. Srila Prabhupada, sitting there on his Vyasa son, started crying. There was a tear coming down his right eye. Prabhupada was crying. He was so moved by the kirtan, he started crying. The murti. Everyone saw. We got Jai Pataka Maharaj, we brought him in, we showed him. Immediately, we all came to Prabhupada, we sang Gurvastakam, and offered arati to Prabhupada.
I was there.
You were there. Wasn't that something? It's amazing. It was a tear coming down Prabhupada's right eye, right out of the murti. It's an amazing thing. So we do not think that Prabhupada is not here. Prabhupada is here. He is blessing us with his mercy. And he is pushing us to distribute this mercy, to take full advantage of it personally by developing pure love of God, and to distribute this mercy for the poor, suffering souls of this planet. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.